angel whom was stronger and no doubt bigger than he. And here he was in isolation. And one thing that he had to do, he had to finally admit who he was. And he ran from his problem. He ran from his mistake. He ran from his past. He ran from himself. He ran from everything that he had done in the past. And he was always on the run. He ran down to Laman, and then from there he ran on out, always running, then running from his brother. He was always on the run. And it kind of feels, and I've seen people that were always on the run, never did slow down for nothing. And it seemed it had been for 20 years that he'd been running from this problem. And he had run from himself. He had run from his past. And finally he came in confrontation. And it seems like everything in the past had been obliterated from his mind. It seemed with wrestling the angel, he finally had to admit who he was. But the angel asked him, "What's thy name?" God knew his name. God knows your name. Sometimes we kind of have to admit that we need God. Sometimes when depending on ourselves and our own ways, we have to come in confrontation with the Lord. Hey, it oft times come by isolation. Being there by himself, Jacob knew that he needed something, that he needed a blessing. Hey, blessings come through broken things. Hallelujah. That woman with the alabaster box had given everything that she had had. She had given all. She had given her most valuable possession. Jacob came in contact, wrestling with his own strength, wrestling with his own abilities, wrestling with himself, giving himself before God, wrestling with the angelic host. He had given all. Amen. But blessings come through broken things. And when in coming in confrontation with God, who said that it would be easy to get our blessing? Who said it that things would come and blessings would come so easy? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, sometimes we walk through deserts. There's times when we cross high mountains. Amen. But we got to keep on keeping on. We got to be like Moses. Amen. And I'm thankful for the goodness of God. Amen. Flat tire, none. That's just a problem. They make tires every day. They do. They make cars every day. Can't get them every day. But it's not the end of the world. Amen. I want to tell you, when the devil starts messing, God starts blessing. And I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. One man said, "Waste not fresh tears over old griefs." And you know, we need to remember that tonight. Waste not fresh tears over old griefs. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord.
In the book of Zephaniah, I don't often preach from the book of Zephaniah. Hardly ever, as a matter of fact. Amen. But I'll begin in chapter 1 of Zephaniah and verse 7. Hold thy peace. Be quiet and shut up. That's what that means. Amen. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. Well, I'll say, it's in your Bible. Amen. You think Zephaniah was wrong? You think Zephaniah wasn't inspired of the Holy Ghost? You think Zephaniah wasn't one of those holy men that wrote the holy word of God? Huh? Why, sure he was. The day of the Lord is at hand. Let's say it together. The day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice and hath bid his guests. As you come to pass on the day of the Lord to sacrifice it, I'll punish the princes and the king's children and such as are clothed with strange apparel. Now this is talking about the last days and the day of the Lord. And the Lord is going to punish a whole bunch that's wearing a bunch of garb that's not pleasing to God. You hear what the Bible said. They say it's Old Testament, ain't never been fulfilled yet. The day of the Lord hadn't come yet. And when the day of the Lord comes, he's going to punish those that's wearing strange apparel. Well, boy, you won't have to go very far to see a bunch of it. I never saw the beat of a strange apparel. I mean, a guy supposed to be a human being walking down the street in a pair of overalls, five sizes too big, cut off at the bottom, and the seat is down around his knees of his overalls, and he's got an earring in his ears, he's got one in his eyebrow and one in his lip. The Lord's going to punish people with strange garb. Amen. And nowadays, tattoos all over them. The most stupid, idiotic, ignorant thing in the world is for a human being to get himself tattooed all over. Amen. And there ain't no easy way to get that stuff off. You might take a notion to get saved. And I'd hate to get saved, you know, and a naked woman tattooed on each arm. Raise my hand, praising the Lord. Amen. Ignorant. Getting that stuff put on you. You got to have your stupid head examined. Amen. Great. Lord, have mercy. He's going to judge those with strange apparel. Huh? And that's in the future, folks. That's still going to happen somewhere in the tomorrow. That's going to happen. It's going to happen in Hamilton, Cincinnati. It ain't going to be long because he said the time is at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand. It's in your Bible. In the same day I'll punish all those that leap on the threshold. That's the way the Philistine went through the door, because Dagon fell and his head wound up on the threshold. Now, ever since, they'd leap over the threshold in reverence to Dagon. Amen. Which filled their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate. That's in Jerusalem. The day of the Lord has suddenly switched back, and the attention is suddenly marked right back in Jerusalem again, back to the fish gate, and howling from the second and great crashing from the hill. How, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, and all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time I will search Jerusalem. Listen to this. The spotlight has switched, and God has turned the light back on Jerusalem. Why? Because the church is gone. The beginning of the day of the Lord is the rapture. That's what starts it off. Amen. The rapture of the church is the beginning of the day of the Lord. And now, why did God take the church out for the day of the Lord? Because the day of the Lord is a terrible time. Woe unto you, Amos said, that desire the day of the Lord is a day of darkness and not light. Amen. Woe unto you. Woe in the Bible means misery. And pain. Amen. And people that are caught in this world in the day of the Lord are going to be in misery and pain, even if they get saved and escape themselves much of the problem, which 144,000 Jews will get saved right here in Jerusalem. Amen. And become missionaries to the ends of the earth. Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14, amen, Joel chapter 2, praise God, all fulfilled right here in the day of the Lord, amen. And the terrible thing about it is they're going to be just like Jeremiah. Even though they do get saved and they're right with God, they got to see it happen. You got to watch the blood run in the streets. They're still telling the story about those kids got saved out or killed out there in Colorado, and how that they saw things that a child ought not to have to see. What was it? Their playmate shot in blood running across the schoolhouse floor. Amen. And I'm telling you, you get shot, there's a lot of blood shed when you get shot. Amen. Shall come past that time, I'll search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their good shall become a booty, their houses a desolation. They also shall build houses and not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards but not drink the wine thereof. Listen to it, 14th verse, Zephaniah chapter 1. The great day of the Lord is near. Let's say it together. The great day of the Lord is near. You believe it? Amen. If you don't believe it, you believe that Zephaniah was off his rocker. If you don't believe it, you believe that Zephaniah wasn't anointed with the Holy Ghost, and this is not a spiritual thing that breathed by the Holy Ghost. You're questioning the Word of God. He said, the day of the Lord is near. It is near. It hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty men shall cry there bitterly. I'll tell you something, folks. The day of the Lord ain't going to be nice for those that's caught in this world, ain't it? Why? 15th verse. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation. Amen. In the middle of the Daniel 70th week, the middle of that 7-year period, the Antichrist is going to bring his image in, set it up in the temple, and that's the abomination that maketh desolate. Amen. And all the Jews are going to flee out of their houses, their vineyards and gardens are going to be left behind, and they're going to go into refuge in the hills, in the mountains of Edom. And if it wasn't for some Arabs helping that woman, the earth helped the woman. Amen. Those children of Moab and Edom is going to protect her when she hides out in that mountainous terrain. Amen. Oh, yes. It's a great day of wrath, a day of trouble, distress, a day of wasteness, desolation, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. They had it in Egypt till you could feel it. They had it in London a few hundred years ago. Amen. And it stayed dark so long that people went berserk and jumped out windows because it was dark so long in London. It's going to get dark again, children. A darkness that can be felt. Listen, a day of the trumpet and alarm. You think the sirens spell trouble today? That trumpet is the siren of the Bible. The sound of the trumpet when they're in alarm. Amen. It's a day of the trumpet an alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. The sirens are going to be blowing continuously. Why? So much trouble. So much fire. So much battle. So many killed and wounded. Amen. I bring distress upon men, and they'll walk like blind men. Why? It's so dark, and they can't see. Because they've sinned against the Lord. Listen to this. Their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. That's what's going to happen in the day of the Lord. That's why Amos said, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord." You ain't going to want to be here when the day of the Lord comes. You need to escape. That's why Jesus said, Luke 21:36, "Pray that ye may be accounted worthy to escape those things that shall come upon the earth." How do you escape? And to stand before the Son of Man. The only way to escape the horrible events of the day of the Lord is to stand before the Son of Man. You don't want to be here when your neighbors are butchered like hogs. You're not going to want to be here when whole nations are butchered like hogs. You're not going to want to be here when the Battle of Armageddon is fought and blood runs so deep, it's 4.5 foot deep to the horse's bridle. Amen. You ain't going to want to be here. You ain't going to want to be here when the water turns to blood and the stars fall from the heavens and hell opens up and belches out demon locusts to torment men. And a 200 million man army comes across the Euphrates that has dried up. Amen. Why are they coming? Because in the day of the Lord there's going to be such great famine that people are going to be desperate for food. And 200 million Chinese, probably desperately hungry, are going to attack. Because when you get so desperately hungry, you're going to blame somebody. And you will attack somebody. Amen. And they're going to attack Israel, Palestine. Amen. Listen to this. Neither shall their silver nor gold be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Huh? Amen. Silver and gold won't be worth anything when that happens. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. Whoa, that's why the trumpets, that's why the sirens are blowing. The whole land's on fire. Israel went through and planted millions of trees all the way, amen, from Mediterranean clear into Jerusalem. Millions and millions of trees. And one fire went through that country just a few years ago and burned up millions of trees. And you're going to have to do it over. Trees are important. Because when you got trees, you got rain. If you haven't got any trees, you don't have anything to change the humidity in the air. Change the balance to bring about rain. Israel went in and planted trees in Palestine and nurtured them up, and it started raining again in Palestine. It hadn't rained for years. It turned into a desert. It hadn't rained hardly for 2,000 years. But it's raining again now. Amen. But the whole country is going to catch on fire. Amen. Now let me read you another one. The Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Amen. Listen to this. This is Joel. Joel chapter 3. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Get you down, for the press is full and the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near. Joel 3:14. Let's say it together. The day of the Lord is near. Amen. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. What's going to happen? The sun and moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Amen. Here is the scenario for the day of the Lord. It starts with the escape of the church. The day of the Lord is so bad that God will not start the clock again till the church is gone. And so he takes his bride out because he don't want to miss a treat. See, amen, it's the Lord that brings on the day of the Lord. It's the Lord that roars out his eye. It's the Lord that pours out his wrath. It's the Lord that's doing all this because men have sinned. And he ain't, pardon me for using the vernacular, he ain't going to do it to his own body. He ain't going to do it to his church. And a dozen times in the New Testament it says the church is his body. Amen. The Bible says for a husband to nourish and to look after his wife like he looks after his own body. Why? Because they're one. Amen. I mean, you may disagree and you may argue and you may be incompatible, and most of the time you get two people together, they're incompatible. Amen. Incompatibility is no excuse for divorce, because everybody's incompatible. Amen. Hallelujah. When God ties you together, you're one. Amen. And the Bible says for us to love our wives like we love our own self. He goes on to say that no man hates his own body. He loveth and cherisheth it. Takes good care of it, don't he? Amen. Well, you think the Lord is a good husband? You think he's going to take good care of his wife? Or you think he's going to, when he sends floods of fire and terrible things out of hell upon this world, you think he's going to pour out all out on his wife? You think he's going to pour out all out on his own body? He'd be insane, wouldn't he? Amen. He wouldn't be rational. He wouldn't be thinking straight. No. Amen. The first thing that starts the day of the Lord is the rapture of the church. Immediately after the rapture of the church, the spotlight changes from the world that has had its chance. America's had her chance. Russia's had her chance. All the nations of the world have had their chance. They've had their revival. And most of them, Mike Allen had it first. Yugoslavia had it first. They had Apostle Paul. That was the Macedonian call. They're a long ways from that now, aren't they? Amen. The Thessalonian church was in Yugoslavia. Amen. And it was that Thessalonian church that he talked so much about. Amen. The escape of the church. And how that he who now well letteth will let though he be taken out of the way. Amen. It's up to us to respond. Praise God. The first thing, the rapture of the church. Then the spotlight changes. Amen. The second thing is, amen, revival in Israel and a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. More completely. Amen. You see, Joel chapter 2 has never been completely fulfilled. Peter said, this is that, and it was, but it wasn't all of that, because the moon didn't turn to blood, amen, and the star didn't fall from the heavens, and there wasn't great signs in the heaven, amen, in Acts chapter 2, and hasn't been in any great measure since. Amen. But the heavens are going to shake, and the stars are going to fall, and the moon's going to turn to blood, and the sun going to be turned as black as sackcloth of hair. Amen. And 144,000 are going to pray through. Amen. In the environs of Israel and Jerusalem. And they, specially preserved and specially anointed, are going to have the power of God, just like Acts of the Apostles, and go into all the world with signs and wonders as missionaries, praise God. Amen. And they're going to convert people under the ebb and tide and the terrible throw and the horrible wrath that's being poured out. They're going to give them hope. Amen. And their converts, according to the 7th chapter of Revelation, are going to be a number that no man can number, coming out of great tribulation. Amen. Yeah, one reason they got saved was that there wasn't anything else to do but get saved in such trouble. When the fire is everywhere, and when the judgment's everywhere, and the wrath is being poured out everywhere, bless God, it's time to get saved. Amen. But the church is not here. They're up yonder. Amen. The church is up yonder hollering, sick 'em. The church is up yonder pouring on coal in the furnace. The church is up yonder turning the heat up on the Antichrist. Yo, glory to God, the tables are turned, praise God. Amen, the church is up yonder, hallelujah, introducing a Redeemer. Amen, and participating in it with Him in the events of that seven-sealed book. Amen, they introduce Him. Amen, they sit on their thrones, praise God. They receive their rewards. They eat the marriage supper of the Lamb, hallelujah. Amen, and all is well in heaven as the Lamb takes His bride to be ever at His side. And all hell breaks loose on this world. Amen. It's going to get worse. Because right in the middle of the great tribulation, Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 14, the 144,000 are going to get raptured too. Amen. These great missionaries are going to be caught up too. Whew! Amen. And they're going to get to heaven, and a whole bunch there already, and they sang a song that no man in heaven can learn but the 144,000. Whew! Revelation chapter 14, praise God. But wait a minute. When the best is gone and God's run clear out of preachers, amen, on the scene comes two preachers that's been here before. Those two olive trees that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Amen. They're going to walk right out of their place in heaven, just like they walked right up there, and they're going to walk right down onto the streets of Jerusalem and prophesy for 3.5 years. They're going to shut up heaven. It rained not for the whole period. They're going to call fire down from heaven. Amen. And the world calls them mean. The world calls them hard. But it's because the world's on the wrong side of God. See, God's tender and loving and merciful and kind and good if you get on His good side. Amen. But the world calls these two witnesses back. And you know what? They have a Christmas party when they finally get killed and send gifts to one another. Amen. Boy, they say, well, it's Yom Kippur, amen, Hanukkah, and it's close to Christmas time anyway. Amen. Let's have a high heel time, praise God. And they're looking at them on TV and everything. Look at them. Those two witnesses, those great men, Enoch and Elijah, hee hee ho ho, ha ha. And while they're sitting there looking at them, their mouth flies right open. And all of a sudden, they get up off the streets of Jerusalem, brush the dust off of them, and are caught up into heaven just in time to come back with Him on that white horse with the rest of the saints and the 144,000. Woo! Glory to God. God is so near run out of preachers in that last 3.5 year period. The only way the world can get the gospel is a mighty angel will fly from one end of heaven to the other, preaching what? The everlasting gospel. Let's say it together. The everlasting gospel. The same one that you and I got saved listening to. Praise God. He's run out of preachers and he sends an angel. Ew, another angel flies back and forth through heaven, brother. It's popular to be from Babylon. Amen. And that angel, he's got one message. Come out of Babylon, my people. Amen. Come out of her. Be not a partaker of her sins. Why? Because God's getting ready to judge Babylon. Babylon is going to fall to never rise. All the Arab oil in the world can't rebuild Babylon when God gets done with it. Never be rebuilt again. It'll be rebuilt. In our time, it's being rebuilt. They beg the archaeologists and the historians and those naturalists that specialize in those things. They beg Saddam Hussein, don't build on the original foundations. Leave them there for posterity. We need to study them. You know what he did? He built right on the original foundations. You know what he dreams of doing? Conquering the world just like Nebuchadnezzar did. Amen. He won't do it. He'll go down. Amen. But Babylon will be rebuilt. And that leader in Syria is going to rise up. Amen. And the Jews are going to know that he is of Jewish descent. Because you see, they are a fraternity. And they know everybody that's on their side. That is, what they call it, when they go into a nation, you know, and they live there for a long time, but they're a communist, you know. Amen. They're undercover. Amen. And there's going to be a charismatic guy rise up in Syria. You see, that's north of Palestine. And that's the part, amen, of Alexander's kingdom that's north of Jerusalem. And that king, according to Daniel, is going to wax great toward the east and the west and the south. That only leaves the north. That means he comes from the north. He is that part of the Grecian kingdom that's north of Jerusalem. But because he belongs to the fraternity that we call Jews, amen, they'll make a league with him for 7 years. And he's the one that's going to conquer Babylon. And he's the one that's going to set up his headquarters in Babylon. But he's not going to be satisfied with Babylon. In the middle of Daniel's 70th week, the last one, he's going to set up his kingdom, his headquarters, right in Jerusalem. And that is the abomination that maketh desolate, and that's dead center in the middle of the great tribulation. And after that, it's going to get worse. God's wrath is going to be poured out without mixture. Amen. First 3.5 years poured out with a revival running right along beside of it. 144,000 Jews working miracles. Amen. A number that no man could number. Saved for the first 3.5 years. They're all going to be raptured, all going to be caught up, all going to be seen in heaven, waving their palms, singing songs that nobody can learn but them. Amen. Is that hard for you to understand? It's all in your Bible. And that's the way it's going to be. And I don't see why everybody can't see it. With a Bible to read and so much knowledge today, amen, we've almost got to be willfully ignorant. Amen. Not to be able to see it. Hallelujah. And folks, just like the prophet said, the day of the Lord is at hand. Amen. Brother Charlie Ann got it, said he'd be living when the Lord come. The Lord showed him that. I told my dad when Charlie Ann got it died, he was in the veterans hospital. My dad, you never know how much a sinner's listening to you when you preach. My dad turned kind of sideways in the bed and said, well, he missed it on that, and didn't he? What do you think, Brother Collins? No, he didn't miss it. Amen. He will be living when the Lord comes. Amen. He's going to be raptured among the first bunch. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And they'll meet the Lord in the air. See, the Lord don't come back at the rapture. He comes back at the end of the 7-year period. And Charlie and Gotti will be living when the Lord comes, I believe, with all my heart. He wasn't wrong. Amen. He might not have understood all he said, but he wasn't wrong. He didn't miss it. What about you? Are you ready? What about me? Will I miss it? I used to sing a song, I wouldn't miss it for nothing, no matter what I have to go through. Oh, someday I lay down my burden. Oh, I don't want to miss it. Do you? I sang it over Gene Huff program in London, Kentucky, 1972. Praise God. Little girl was listening with her mom and said, Mama, what is it that they don't want to miss? And she had an opportunity to tell her little girl, it's the coming of the Lord, honey. That's what we don't want to miss. Stand with me, Father. Challenge our hearts, Lord, and draw us close to God. Help us, everyone here tonight, to be washed in the blood and be ready when the Lord comes. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. As they sing, we invite you to an altar of prayer. Amen. Come on. Come on. That's the way to get ready. Pray. Pray that you may be counted worthy to escape. Pray, pray, pray. Seek God. Call on the Lord. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. That's the way you draw nigh to Him. That's the way you walk with Him. Pray. Seek God. Hallelujah.
Glory. Trials are through. Too many tears help me to remember there's too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains. My feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead, there's cool, clear water, and defeat, it's a word I never use. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains. Many rivers these feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. Too many miles me. Too many trials are through. Too many tears help me to remember there's too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead